Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I would like to speak about two things today. First of all, Mission Sunday, which is always the second to the last Sunday of October. And by the way, the second collection today will be for the support of the Rosary and Scapular Guild. Oh, that also reminds me, this Saturday we have our annual Guild Appreciation Brunch, and I encourage you to participate in that. We do want to honor and thank all those who work so hard through the year, and also to encourage you to be involved in the guilds. You, as you give to the parish, you receive in return. As we give, so shall we receive. So anyway, to support the Rosary and Scapular Guild, because they are so powerful in helping convert sinners and heretics and unbelievers. So we do want to keep promoting that as much as we can. And the other topic on which I would like to speak about is voting. You probably have already received your ballots in the mail, or will very soon, and I want to reflect upon our Catholic obligation in this regard. First of all, Mission Sunday. I came across a very powerful quote from St. John Chrysostom, who had this to say. He said, "There would be no pagans if Christians were real Christians, if they really kept the commandments. A good life sounds clearer and louder than a trumpet." Unquote. Let's really reflect upon that. If, and let's tweak the words a little bit, if Catholics live like Catholics, there wouldn't be any pagans, because they would be converted by the force of their good example. That's the opinion of a canonized saint and one of the great fathers and doctors of the church. So assuming the truth of that, or assuming that his opinion is true, the conclusion would have to be made is that Catholics are not living as Catholics, and that's the problem. They are not the light shining to the world. They are not taking to heart what Christ said, "Let your light shine before men." You see, a good life is a most powerful sermon. Now, there's also, of course, the necessity of offering up prayers and sacrifices for sinners. There's no substitute for that, and we can all do that, and all should do that. But a good example is what's so much needed. It draws people like few other things do. And sometimes we are called to do something very active. For example, the Rosary March we have once a month downtown. That's a very powerful apostolic thing. We are spreading devotion to the Rosary. We are bearing witness to God and to Our Lady. But it's not just when we're doing something actively apostolic, just the way we live. How do we act? How do we talk? How do we dress? How do we behave? How do we react in stressful situations? Those are examples that we give. We cannot escape giving an example, and it will either be for good or for ill. So let us try to take to heart what St. John Chrysostom says to us. Now, I'm not saying this is the infallible teaching of the church, but this is the opinion. This is a statement, as I said, by a father and a doctor of the church. And you see, the problem is that instead of lifting the pagans up, unfortunately, Catholics get sucked into becoming or living like the pagans do. And that's the problem. And when Catholics need to be reminded of their baptismal vows, when we were baptized, either personally or through our godparents, we answered three questions that were put to us by the priest. First of all, do you renounce Satan? I do renounce him. And all of his works, in other words, the overtly and obviously evil things that are out there, the things that aren't disguised, they're clearly evil works. I do renounce them. And then the third question, and I think in a sense this is the hardest question to answer and to be faithful to. And do you renounce the pomps of the devil? I do renounce them. What are the pomps of the devil? St. Louis Marie de Montfort says it's whatever the devil uses to make sin alluring in persons, places, and things. And this is the downfall of so many Catholics, even traditional Catholics. They get sucked into worldly behaviors, worldly amusements, worldly fashions, and instead of lifting up the pagans, they're becoming like the pagans. And with technology, our battle is going to be bigger and more fierce than ever before because the world gets at us through technology, especially electronic. The electronic medium, the occasions of sin are proliferating like never before. And we're going to simply have to be strong enough to resist all of it. We're told in today's epistle, put on the armor. Pull out that sword. You've got to fight. But if you're worldly, you are taking your armor off. You're putting your sword away. And you're certainly not helping with the missionary spirit and drive of the church. You know, the world keeps getting more and more corrupt. And I have to mention this only because I saw it by accident. Once in a while, I do go out and shop, and I suppose being a typical man, I don't like shopping. Well, I take that back. If it was a religious goods store or a music store, yes, I would enjoy browsing for a long time. But when I go shopping, obviously certain parts of the store I make it a point to avoid, as I'm sure you also have to as well. And one of them is the cosmetics section. I'm not going to be walking anywhere near there. But one day by accident, this was just a couple of weeks ago, I did see it by chance as I went by, and I saw the word or the phrase sinful color. And I just was shocked, but it really not shocked. Because now evil is a good thing. Now advertisers can actually say, if it is sinful the way we want you to look, and buy it, it's a good thing. That's the way of the world. Evil becomes good. And yes, because you live in the world, the pull is going to be on you. The pull is going to be on your daughters to be worldly, to be immodest, to be alluring instead of virtuous. It's going to pull on your sons, try to suck them in. And once we do that, how can we say we are helping the mission of the church? because we're worldlings. Another great saying I saw a few weeks ago was, it was on a church marquee somewhere here in the Spokane area, sin first fascinates, then assassinates. Indeed, how true that is. It makes it look alluring, and then it draws people in. We have to resist it. We have to be strong. We have to wear our armor. And the sword, what is that sword? The Word of God. This is why reading Holy Scripture is important, because whenever you study Holy Scripture, you are more equipped. You have more words to share with non-Catholics. You can be a better apostle. This is why we have Bible study here at the Mount. There's a, I think, a 300 or 500 day indulgence given for 15 minutes of devout reading of Holy Scripture. So don't forget that. The power of God's Word. St. Paul tells us that. It's a spiritual sword. How would it be if a soldier went into battle without a sword? He might have armor on, but what it, you know, if he doesn't have an offense, his defense is going to crumble. So we are called to be apostles by prayer, by offering up sacrifice. It's very, very powerful. But also remember a good example. And yes, we have to not let the world affect us. We have to change the world, not let it change us. Speaking of changing the world, what about voting? I don't think we have the luxury, my dear brethren, of sitting back and not voting. As a matter of fact, I think it's wrong. I'm going to share a quote here with you from Pope Pius XII, given in a speech to the International Union of Leagues of Catholic Women. This was September 12, 1947. And he says, "Consequently, heavy is the responsibility of anyone, man or woman, who has the right to voting, especially when religious interests are at stake. As they well know, abstention in such case would of itself be a grave and deadly sin of omission. On the contrary, to use and make good use of this right is to work effectively for the true good of the people and to act as loyal defenders of the cause of God and of the church." It's very clear. We have to vote. Now, I realize, now, a couple of things we need to make very clear. First of all, you'll never hear from the pulpit, "Vote for so-and-so," because that would be politicizing the pulpit. And we have to be careful not to do that. However, in a broad way, it is a moral issue. Now, there were times, of course, in the last couple hundred years where the government became so evil that the church even told the Catholics, this happened in Italy, for example, not to vote because it was fruitless and pointless. But I don't think that is the case for us. I think we have to vote. I don't just think it, I know it, especially when we hear this a quote like this from Pope Pius XII. And secondly, there are times when you're going to feel that there's no real choice between two candidates, but there are issues, there are candidates where there is a clear choice. And you know, at a very fundamental level, I think what's going to be happening is either Americans are going to vote for a biblical value or they're going to vote for a worldly value. And that's really the battle. But St. Paul tells us that in today's epistle. Our battle is not just against flesh and blood, it's against the principalities and powers. Ultimately, it's a spiritual battle. And we're going to find out how much of America, which is unfortunately not a Catholic country, but we're going to find out, did it vote for values, for truths that are in the Bible, or is it voting for more government handout, better, or economic issues are primary in people's minds? That's really sad. And above all the issues, voting pro-life, if any candidate is going to promotes the murdering of unborn children in the mother's womb, you know that's how evil that is. If they can't get it right on that issue, how can they get it right on any other issue? Because the right to life is most fundamental right. If you don't have life, you don't have anything else. That life on earth has ceased to exist. So I plan to talk about this again next Sunday to just comment on it some more, but I just wanted to at least leave you with some thoughts in this regard. There is an obligation, and we do have to vote, and when there's an obvious choice, go for the one that's going to uphold, at least has a much better chance of upholding God's law and not just materialistic or humanistic issues or values. We have to go with God's law. That is the foundation of everything, and that's our only hope. So there's a world there to be won for Christ. There's a lot that we have to do. It looks frightening, but we have spiritual armor and spiritual arms. Let's take them up. In the exhortation of St. Paul, and follow our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.